And this once again is Paul Rodel. And today is April 13th, but not Friday, Sunday.
14th?
It's 14th?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Sunday.
Okay, April the 14th, Sunday. And we're full of thumb?
Thaw. Yeah.
Having just come back from the restaurant, and yeah. I have the business card of the restaurant. Anyway, we're just joking. I'm just joking. I should be less foolish and more serious. But I'm sitting here with Sabrina Swift.
Sabina.
That's right. I keep on confusing you with the movie that I saw on the plane with Sabina Swift, which is bad because I have a friend of mine whose wife is also Sabina. Oh. I shouldn't confuse that at all. Anyway, and Sabina was not really on the IVS list.
I was not.
Well, but as an IVS volunteer?
Yeah, I was not.
I think you, oh, maybe, no, you were. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I really knew more of Steve.
Yeah.
Than, yeah, sorry about that. And want to get her story too, which overlaps. And so start off with the basic question of name and where you were born and raised and what your parents did for a living and your own kind of personal little background.
Okay.
So,
well,
let me stop talking.
Okay. My name is Sabina Fajardo Garcia Swift.
Oh.
And it's unfortunate that I was not in the list, and I guess because I was just listed. Well, that happens with women being married to another person, and you know, they kind of, oh, okay. But anyway, I was born in the Philippines in 1939. That was a long time ago. And my parents, my father started as a farmer, and that was the reason I got into agriculture. I wanted to do something else after high school, and he said, well, if you're going to take up nursing in Manila, you're not going to school, so if you go to Los Baños and take agriculture, then I will find money to send you to school. And I wanted to go to school, so I said, oh, okay, I'm going to Los Baños. And that's where I got a bachelor's degree in agriculture and major in entomology. That's how I got started into this volunteer service, using my entomology background. So because my father was a farmer, and he thought he needed somebody who would know agriculture to help him out later on, I think that was the reason why he wanted me to be an agriculturist. Fortunately, after I finished my degree, I had 1 year of work with the University of the Philippines in their farm and home development program. It was like extension work, living out in the barrio with a team anyway of agriculturists also, which eventually, after that short 1 year period working in the barrio, the Operation Brotherhood people came in and wanted to recruit a team of agriculturists and home nutritionists, home technologists, to go to Laos. And so,
to Laos?
Yeah, to go to Laos. And I guess with Operation Brotherhood, yeah. And as Paul had mentioned earlier, well, Operation Brotherhood is a medical outfit anyway. But as I said, after 10 years or so of operation in Laos, operating on, you know, the local people and doing public health, giving them pills, and they realized that the Laotians won't be able to survive if after Obi leaves, because they do need something else, and they have to improve on their eating habits and improve their nutrition and all that. And that's how they incorporated bringing in a team of agriculturists and home economists to help them out. And that's
so. Let me back up and ask you a couple
okay.
questions.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to interrupt
yeah.
too frequently,
no, no.
but I just made a couple notes. Your father was a farmer.
Yeah.
What was his farming activity? Was rice, soybeans?
He was a diversified upland farmer anyway.
Okay.
He planted rice during the rainy season, upland rice farming. Mm-hmm. And he planted corn. This is mostly for home consumption anyway.
Okay.
And planted corn and peanuts and cassava. And then we had, of course, we had bananas and, you know, mungo beans, things like that. And he was a tenant farmer. I mean.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, he was a tenant farmer. We didn't have, you know, land, our own land to.
He must have been very successful if he could get the money to send you off to college.
No, not really. Well, it was...
Because it's expensive.
Well, at that time, let me see, going to Los Baños, like 105, you know, in one semester, 100, uh-huh. 105 pesos.
That was
semester.
2 to 1?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Because now it's, what, 26 or something, 28 to 1 or something like that now.
It was really, but that was big money then.
It was still big money. I was saying it's 2 to 1.
Big money, yeah.
Yeah.
But my mom, who had had, you know, maybe fourth grade education. She raised pigs and mm-hmm. she raised chicken, and so we have, you know. And there are six in my family. There are six kids in my family.
Uh-huh.
Why? I don't know. We kind of survived.
Okay.
And, well, unfortunately, my dad died when my brother and I were both in Los Baños. My brother went there. And so when he was, he became a policeman anyway. And he was killed on duty. He was ambushed on his... And this was when I was a freshman in college. And so my brother was forced to quit school so he could, you know, get a job and, you know, take care of the family.
Right.
I'm number two in my family, okay. in my siblings.
So Kuya was a little yeah. ahead of you, and
yeah.
then he had to drop out,
yeah.
became policeman.
No, he did something else, but...
Who was the policeman?
My father was.
Oh, your father? Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
My father
yeah, okay,
was.
All right.
Hi,
okay.
And so my brother quit school,
uh-huh.
got a job.
Uh-huh.
The company my dad, you know, worked for, gave him a job. And then my brother said, well, okay, since you're, you know, you're a little bit smarter than me and and you seem to be focused and all that, why don't you just go ahead and go to school? I'll
uh-huh.
pay for your, you know,
really?
I'll send you to school. And then when you finish, you take care of the family.
Yeah.
I said, okay, fine.
Okay, so you went off to Laos.
So I finished school. That was
yeah.
his... 4 more years to go.
Uh-huh.
So
what year did you graduate?
1960.
Okay.
So I finished in 1960. After I finished college, I told my brother, well, you know, and I got a job.
Right.
You know. You can go back to school and you know, I'll take care of you. And then he said, well, I think I'll just, you know, get married. And he was still working at that time, but he got married a couple of years later, and I was off in Laos anyway. So that's how that all started anyway. But it was really a struggle to, you know, going to school at that time.
Oh, absolutely.
Because
your family is pretty comfortable right now, some of your brothers.
Oh yeah, my.
So I didn't realize that that the background wasn't at least middle class. I mean, it's really from tenant farmer.
No, this is.
That's very much a success story.
This is a real, you know. I always tell my friends, hey, I came from, you know, this is peasant background here. I'm a country girl.
Yeah, no, legitimately.
I am a farmer's daughter, so.
Well, you know, many people.
I'm proud of it.
Many people make the claim, and they're not.
You know. So, yeah, but Stephen usually say, well, you had a vision for yourself, and that's how I got out. My father was into education.
Mm-hmm.
He said. He used to tell us that I don't have anything to give you when I die except your education. So while you are going to school, you know, you do very well. And
yeah, even my land is someone else's.
Yeah.
So the only thing I can give you is not property.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's your mind.
Yeah. So it's, you know, you just have to do it.
Yeah.
And that's great.
He sounds like a wonderful man.
Oh, he was.
Yeah, I guess he was. Okay. So I'm sorry to dwell on that. I mean, I actually spent a little time. It's a wonderful story, though.
So I went to Laos in 1962.
Mm-hmm.
And my entire 4 years there, I went back to the Philippines only once. I went back in 64. And then in 1966, I came back to the Philippines to stay. I just quit Laos.
Okay.
I went to, while I was in Laos, I did the agriculture plant protection, you know, bit anyway. I worked down in Paksong or Pakse anyway. I was stationed in Paksong the whole 4 years.
Paksong. Where would that be?
That was in southern Laos.
Okay.
And let me see, I can't remember the name of the province. Is that Saravan, I think? Saravan province. And because of my experience there, and also that's where I heard of the International Voluntary Services.
Okay.
Because in Pakse there were a few
IVS
volunteers anyway.
Okay. So see, 62, 64, they would have been
66,
there, sure.
66, yeah. So they were there, I think I met them maybe 66 to, 65 to 66 anyway.
Yeah.
And you know how it is, expatriates in a place.
Yeah, even if not from the same country, they're still going to get together.
They still get together, and that's how they used, the IVS volunteers used to come to Paksong, which is up in the plateau anyway, the Volubens Plateau, where it's cool all year round, and I guess they would come and have parties over there with us anyway.
So. And just to get away.
Yeah. And then from there, from Laos, I went back to the Philippines.
After 4 years,
and
you were working in, I think I know what you were doing, but just to clarify, you were teaching nutrition or agronomy?
I was doing agriculture, plant protection.
All the plant production
had,
of different crops.
Yeah, and maybe,
mostly vegetables? And
and maybe animal husbandry.
Okay. Diet diversification, basically.
Let me clarify this a little bit. The team of agriculturists in Paksong, there are five of us. One is an animal husbandry person, a man. One is a agricultural economist. Another one is a horticulturist or agronomist anyway.
Okay.
And one, an entomologist. for plant protection, that's me. And then the other person is a woman. She is a home technologist. So this is a team approach. An agriculture team approach.
Because your background in entomology would have put you more toward the plant protection.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
So we have an agronomist. The agronomist and the entomologist, we kind of work together.
Very closely.
But the same with the animal husbandry man, because he would come across problems with livestock, insect problems anyway.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I would come in anyway and help him out.
Sure.
But in my entire 4 years, I didn't use my entomology background all the time. I would work with the villagers, teaching them how to grow lettuce and pepper and all these things.
Which is really more agronomy.
Yeah, but and I have background in those too, so it works out.
I mean, you're not ignorant. I mean,
coming from
your father's farm where you were growing up as a little girl.
Yeah.
Even before you got to Los Baños.
Yeah. So it was, this is like, you know.
You could have taught a few classes.
So I was, in other words, there are four agriculturists in that team anyway.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have our own specialty, you know, field specialty. So
with lots of overlap.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Okay. From Laos, I went back to Los Baños and I worked there for 2 years, an entirely different field. I was in communication and I was in I even had a radio station program. Anyway, I was with the Department of Agricultural Communication, and I myself and some other people in the group would write brochures for farmers to
mm-hmm.
take home regarding all aspects of agricultural procedures anyway, like okay, one is insect control, the other one is how to raise pigs and how to raise, and this is part of what we do in the Agricultural Communication Department. And the other one is we take care of the Los Baños only radio station.
You mean the campus radio station?
Yeah, the campus radio, DZLB. And I have a regular half an hour program there,
mm-hmm.
where I cater to problems of people out in the barrio. They would send letters and then they would like to have the answers on the radio, and that's what I did. The other thing, this is part of an extension program in Laguna.
Yeah,
anyway.
No, I understand.
Okay.
Because I worked a little bit the same sort of thing in Zambales.
Okay.
But not a radio personality.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a fun thing.
Yeah.
It was like, oh boy, it is. You go to the barrios and you're like a celebrity.
Signing autographs?
Yeah. Then we all ask her, oh, where is Tita Chabeng? Tita Chabeng.
Tita Chabeng?
Yeah, that's my radio name anyway. So after the Department of Communication stint, which is 2 years, I applied. I was getting kind of, I was getting itchy feet and I wanted to go away again. And I heard of the international volunteer needing people at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I applied.
How did you hear?
Let me see. I can't remember. Well, as I said, I've met IBS people.
Yeah, you knew them.
Laos. Yeah. I know. I think IBS would send their volunteers to Los Baños for orientation.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yes, they would.
And they were just across the...
Frank and Nancy went through that.
Yeah. They were just across the hall from where we were, you know, from my office.
Yeah.
This was on the bottom, you know, on bottom of the library building in Los Baños, and we had our offices. And
they have a new library now.
Yeah. And they would have their orientation on the other
side. So I don't know the old library.
Yeah. Well, this is the old library. And so when I heard about that, I said, oh, maybe I should, you know, I should apply. And I did apply, and that came through, and they asked me where I wanted to go, because at that time, there were all these places where, you know, you could go. One was Africa, and of course, Vietnam. And I said, well, I would like to go to Vietnam. And I did.
Yeah.
Willie Myers interviewed me.
Willie Myers?
Yeah.
I've heard his name.
Yeah, okay. He's married to a Filipina.
Okay.
So, from Los Baños, anyway. Mm-hmm. So I was sent to Vietnam, and with the agriculture team.
I'm going to put off the tape to ask you if you knew someone that I knew at Los Baños about the same time.
Okay, sure. You know, she said, oh, I would apply. I mean, do you think they'll get me? I said, well, you try. See,
so this Char Quinto was also in your program?
She was, no, this was, yeah, in a way, but she was in the office anyway.
Okay.
She was doing the analytical.
She saw the IVS people, and then she saw you, and you were going to apply, so she said, I'm going to do that too.
Yeah. So she did.
Yeah. And went to Bangladesh.
She went to Bangladesh and met her husband there.
She met someone there?
Yeah.
Someone from Bangladesh? Or IBS?
He was with CARE, I think, at that
time. With CARE,
time.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, an American guy.
An American, okay.
They're still married up to now. They are in Switzerland now.
Oh, how nice. Although a little cold. I think I prefer Honolulu.
Okay. But anyway.
Oh, and I was going to tell you that I notice behind you that there's the rabbit hutch.
Yeah.
And one of my projects as a volunteer was trying conejo.
Oh.
Because I figured, I'm going to turn this off again.
Yeah, yeah. My
conejos would have died really quickly. So I knew I couldn't let them out. And I couldn't feed them properly when they were caged.
Yeah.
But I did write up some agriculture literature on it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that other volunteers could try it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's hard to write in that style.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I had some success with the English version, and then I got it translated to both Tagalog and Ilocano. So it was distributed a little bit. But it's a tough job. It's not an easy job. But anyway, I'm subtracting from your story, and time is running late.
Yeah.
So you get back and you go to you wanted Vietnam instead of Laos?
Yeah.
Because you already had Laos experience.
Yeah, that's true.
How come Vietnam?
Was it, I guess they, I'll take it back. I don't think they didn't give me a choice. They wanted me in Vietnam.
They wanted you in
Vietnam?
Okay.
Yeah, because I think it was because there was the person who was in, and they knew where they were going to put me in the lot, mountain, you know, city anyway, where there
in
were,
Dalat, so in Dalat. A little south in the old
Where this was in the highlands. This Dalat is in the highlands, if you're familiar with the place anyway.
I know where it is.
Yeah. And that is Dalat is the vegetable what do you call that? The vegetable center of South Vietnam at that time.
Yeah, the Baguio of South Vietnam.
Yeah, exactly, the Baguio of South Vietnam, where, you know, the military and just about most of the, you know, the vegetables, phosphorus especially, are coming from anyway. I guess I didn't have an option. They asked me to go to Dalat anyway, to Vietnam, and I said, yeah. And that was really, I didn't have any qualms about going to Vietnam, but my family did have qualms because there was war going on at that time. This was in 1968.
Uh-huh.
I went, and I had a 1 month intensive, is it 1 month or intensive language training in Nha Trang, Nha Trang, Nha Trang, and after that they sent me to Dalat, and I was the only volunteer out there.
The only one in Dalat?
Yeah, I was the only one in Dalat.
Oh.
I lived in the old IBS house there, which is next door to the house of Madame Yu, up in the lot. And across from me is the police station.
And just so, let me get the chronology right. This was in 68.
Yeah.
When exactly did you join?
In August.
August of 68 you joined, and
yeah,
then so 1 month of language.
Uh-huh.
But if this was Madame Nu?
Yeah.
That you live near?
Well, she wasn't there anymore.
Because her husband was killed in 65.
Yeah, yeah. And her house was trashed. I mean, but this was, so I was just saying that,
you know.
Because
she would have been off in France, maybe.
Yeah,
or something
she was
like
gone. She was
okay,
gone.
Okay, all
she
right.
Was gone.
This is the infamous Madame Nu.
Yeah.
Oh, just to find someone who was neighbors and
who
maybe went over to the house and borrowed sugar or something like that would have been wonderful.
I have been to her house, but it was, nobody was staying there.
No one was, and you say it was trashed.
Yeah, it was, yeah. The glass is broken. Nobody was living in that house anyway.
Okay.
But it was a nice, you know, summer home.
It
was a summer home. Which would tell you that I was living in a very nice, fancy home too.
Yeah,
it was a
yeah.
Chalet with
wow.
a fireplace, and it was
and
nice.
And IBS paid for everything?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, anyway, so I was, everybody was teasing me about, oh, you're not a volunteer, you're doing your R&R here.
Because it's a little hilly and
yeah.
it's so cooler.
And cool.
You're in a chalet.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was really nice. I had my great experience over there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And him living in a nice house and being in a nice place. So, okay.
But what did you do there?
My work as a volunteer is something like this. They made, or IBS made arrangement with the agriculture department in Saigon that I would be with the this research center in Dalat, and they do have a research center there.
Uh-huh.
And so what happened was it's like I would come in to the center every day, and I had the option of doing extension work or do experiments in the center.
Ah, so either research or extension.
Yeah, I did both.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the 2 years I was there, I was involved in, well, I did a couple of pesticide experiments anyway, where I was able to get new insecticides from, you know, from companies like Ciba, Geigy, and Velsicol, and I experimented on these pesticides with whatever available pesticides the farmers are using there, so I could see which one is better and which one I could recommend to farmers, because at that time they were having problems with insect resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were really looking into finding a new insecticide that could help them anyway, help these farmers. And so that was quite hot at that time. They were going through some kind of a crisis, and so it was like I would have these experiments going, and I have my collaborators or cooperators, farmer cooperators, on, you know, from the villages, and I would bring them in to see, you know, the experiments, and they could tell I mean, the experiment mm-hmm. there, right there, could tell them, you know, what is really going on. Just, you know, seeing all the plots, the control plots, and all these plots with the different kind
sure.
of pesticides.
A real demonstration.
Yeah, it was, you know, a demonstration. These are demonstration plots.
So you had many farmers coming in.
Yeah.
Because you were also going out there to recruit
yes,
them.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Okay.
So it was not like, you know, I was just doing research on
mm-hmm.
you know
yeah.
and not so it was a very good setup and for 2 years that's what I did, but that was not the only thing that I did. I there were other things that I've done with which is actually doing the experiment in a farmer cooperator's field.
Mm-hmm.
Which
well that's
is,
the next step.
Yeah, which is sometimes even better because
the
farmer himself was the one doing the work, and he could tell
he'd be the propagandist,
yeah.
and he would know all of his
yeah.
friends and yeah.
His neighboring farmers would come in and see what was happening
on their own time.
Yeah, yeah, at their own, and outside of my, you know, I don't have to see these things up anyway, and so that was the, you know, what I did those 2 years.
Yeah.
The only problem I encountered doing that was that these pesticides that we have, that I used, were not easily available. Some of them they have to buy from Thailand, or you know, and so it was a real problem. And although I've mentioned this to the directorate, you know, in Saigon, because I used to go. Gosh.
Anyway, this has probably gone on so
yeah, another half hour.
No, but I mean it started probably
yeah,
past
okay.
the leader,
okay.
and you were saying that some of the problem was really
yeah.
availability of chemicals. Even if they worked, the farmer sees them even in plots outside
yeah.
the control groups, sees that it can work, but couldn't buy it because
yeah.
it wasn't locally available
yeah, yeah.
or.
It was not locally available.
Okay.
And it was really a hardship to go to Thailand and, you know, to get
yeah.
that or well, and one of the, okay, the classic case is I tried, this was in 68 or maybe 69, Bacillus thuringiensis, it's BT, it's a new chemical anyway, and it was going pretty well, and then it was not available. I don't think it was available even in Thailand. It was very new,
uh-huh.
and so that was you know, a big disappointment anyway.
Because
so
it was so good, but
yet not available.
Mm-hmm.
Even in Thailand, I think at that time it was not quite available. I got this chemical from someone, I think I still remember his name is Larry Liptak, anyway, from Singapore, and it was too bad, but it was really great,
mm-hmm.
and the farmers really liked it. So that was one problem, and while I was doing that, I mean, although I had this concept of that reminds me of Vietnam.
Yeah, I was gonna say this. It's probably even coming in on the tape.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's probably right almost overhead.
Because,
I can't see it.
You know, Paul, we have hospitals nearby here.
So it probably is a hospital.
And well,
aircraft?
Maybe not this one. It's a little bit way up there. But I know that they would come down here to bring patients to
uh-huh.
the hospital.
Kind of like a medical. Mercy
yeah.
mission.
Yeah.
yeah,
and they would come down
mercy
really
flights.
Low, and it's like Steve and I would say, "Oh boy, this reminds us of Vietnam, anyway." So.
Well, yeah, I mean it. That happened also when I was in Barrio Villar, especially after the NPA started up,
because
they were in the barrio,
and
we shared
yeah.
the barrio. They were at one end, I was at the other.
The other end.
So every once in a while, there would be they'd be gone,
yeah.
and I would say, "Where are they?" And people would say. Oh, the Tunay Nanalaki decided to go away for a few days.
Uh-huh.
That's what they would call the NPA, Tunay Nanalaki.
Tunay Nanalaki, oh my God.
The true man.
Yeah, the true man. But then the next day, there'd be helicopters.
Ah.
And it would be U.S. helicopters bringing Philippine scouts and rangers coming to look for them. Because the NPA knew a day or two in advance that the Philippine Army was going to send the scouts or the rangers or whatever they called them. You know? So they cleared out. Their intelligence is so much better.
Yeah. Well, this reminds me.
Did I put this on off or on? Oh, it's running. Okay.
It's running.
Okay.
Well, this reminds me of how it is in Vietnam. People had asked me, well, do you think, you know, you work with the Viet Mongs when you are in the villages? And I said, maybe. Mm-hmm. But when I was there, I was apolitical, and I, you know, I don't pay attention to what their politics are. They have a legitimate plant protection problem. I do it, and I don't look at all these, you know, signs of, he's a VC or he is, you know, somebody else. Anyway, I don't pay attention to those things. So. Maybe I did.
Yeah. Why, were there some in the area, you think?
I was told by, you know, AID people that, you know, like, relayed so-and-so, you know, don't stay there, and, you know, till dark, because when at night they are there, during the day they are not there, but I'm sure somebody might be there during the day. You can never tell.
A local contact.
Yeah, yeah. And so it didn't bother me, and I am sure they knew that I would not bother them, so it was, you know, it was all right.
It was the same with me and the NPA.
Yeah.
You know, so. After they investigated me,
yeah,
I had to leave for a short time.
Uh-huh.
But after they investigated me and the people in the barrio said that they would take care of me,
yeah,
then I could come back. And as long as I didn't take long trips on my own, I would be with other people, and I would, you know, we would make a plan a day or so in advance so that they could tell, you know, that we're going to go here.
Yeah.
Don't be worried.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You know.
Yeah, that was good. I've done long trips on my own.
Uh-huh.
And I had a blue Scout anyway, peaceful looking car anyway, and I'm sure they have seen me, you know, in some odd villages, and they see my car. And
they knew who you were.
They knew who I was, and so they didn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really nice. What else?
Well, you mentioned AID. Did you work a lot with AID people directly?
No, not really, not really. But they were there, and they were, you know.
In Dalat?
In Dalat, yeah.
Okay.
There was a, they had their office there. There was an agriculturist also. Some of my contacts, some of, like Mr. Sang, worked with this agriculturist.
Sang?
Sang, yeah.
S-A-N-G.
X-A, oh, is it?
Oh.
Yeah, S-A-N-G or, yeah, S-A-N-G, yeah, Mr. Sang.
He was American.
No, he is Vietnamese.
Oh, okay, all right, then, yeah.
He is like the plant protection extension agent.
So it could be X-A-N-G, yeah.
Yeah, and I got to know him through this agriculture, through the agriculture guy of AID anyway. From the time on, I worked with him quite well anyway, and he knew some farmers, that's how I got to meet my, you know, my farmer cooperators eventually, through Mr. Sang.
Okay.
And so AID, Mr. Sang, and then myself, and, you know, farmers.
Sounds like Mr. Sang is more important, really, than AID, at least on by day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mr. Sang was my kind of my counterpart. So I have two counterparts. I had this extension guy, Mr. Sang, and the research people, anyway, at the research center.
And then paying your bills would be AID, but that's removed.
Oh, with the IBS. Oh,
yeah.
I did not recognize AID as my main source of money.
Okay.
I never did.
Okay.
They were my friends, and I need help with transportation, like maybe a helicopter, I could ask through AID, and then they will deal with the military to drop me in some village, inaccessible village,
mm-hmm.
and so I can be dropped there, dropped off, and then picked up, you know, the next day, that kind of thing, which I did.
You did that frequently?
Yeah. No, I did that only once. Anyway.
Okay, all right.
Only once.
All right.
But
AID that, was there to do that.
Yeah, to help. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that kind of thing. So it was a friendly, you know, relationship.
It sounds like you had a lot of success.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I didn't have, I don't know, maybe that's, it could be because I was a woman, and the other
uh-huh.
one was, I didn't know, I didn't have this American hang up, because all these AID people are Americans anyway.
Right.
And
well, what do you mean by American hang up?
Well, American volunteers, when they come to Vietnam, they had this thing about extreme separation from AID because of the war and, you know, and the military.
Okay.
They like to, we are an independent organization, we don't want to have anything to do with you, not because of you know, the political connection right there, but they wanted to have an identity that the Vietnamese could say, you are different from this thing happening, the government has nothing to do with you guys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I can see that.
Yeah, but you didn't need that.
I would have probably, I don't know, maybe I would, if I were American, I would have that at the back of my mind. On the other hand, I have a goal, and that was, you know, to be able to help these people. That's why I was there as a volunteer. And I won't have to, you know, if AID can help me to get my goal done, well, why not?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is how I operated when I was there. So that's what I mean with the hang up anyway. And not all American volunteers were like that. Some, you know, well, they thought just like me, but some were, you know, were really
mm-hmm.
very focused on, yeah, we have to stay away from those guys.
If you gave percentages, what would you say?
You mean the American volunteers?
Yeah, how many thought one way, how many thought another?
Guys, I have, well, I can... I don't think I can tell you that because
okay.
my
all right.
because my I didn't meet with all the, you know, this is just my from my own
from your
limited
own.
Contact with,
mm-hmm.
with the volunteers. And the other thing is my in IBS I had this not being, you know, like racist or what, but there were a lot of other non-Americans. 20% of IBS were non-Americans.
Right.
And so, for some reason, I was, you know, very comfortable with these other non-Americans than with the American volunteers. It's not because, I mean, you know, this could be interpreted by individuals differently, but it just so happened that, you know, there are many things that I can talk about with these other non-Americans because they were in China and in Japan, and we have things that, you know, I knew than with the American volunteers. They were, it's the cultural thing maybe, but that eventually, you know, changed towards the end of my volunteer service there, in, you know, slightly
changed. How
changed? Where, you know, I became a little bit more comfortable being with you know, with the American volunteers.
Okay.
And eventually, well, there is no difference. I mean, you guys are just like me, and I'm just like yours. So
yeah, no, but
just like you,
I can see what you know, how you would get along at least initially.
Yeah,
much better with volunteers who did not come from such a different cultural context.
Yeah, well, you know. Yeah.
No, but, it's almost obvious.
Yeah.
But well, my question, before you, I'm going to cut you off.
Okay.
The other non-American volunteers, you say about 20%.
Uh-huh.
Did they have the similar kind of working relationship with AID that you had?
I think they probably did.
Okay. So it wasn't just you. It was also the other non-Americans who were generally better able to work with AID and not have to worry about their separate identity.
I think so, yeah,
okay.
yeah.
And I was assuming that, but I wanted to hear if that's true.
And in a way, it was, that was a real, I don't know, maybe IBS realized that also, that, you know, IBS became more, what do you call that, more effective having non-American volunteers in those areas at that time.
Mm-hmm.
This was wartime, anyway.
Right.
And maybe that's why they, you know, there were more, there, well, I won't say more of us, but I guess that
a good number.
A good number, yeah.
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 If I can put words in your mouth for you.
Sure.
I don't want to, but
no, no, that's good.
Yeah.
Let me see, where are we now?
I don't know, but I just wanted to make that distinction because it seemed obvious to me.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to just think of something as obvious and be wrong.
Yeah. So what other information would you like me to...
Well, you know, what I'm really curious about is how you and Steve met.
Okay.
Because he was a volunteer also?
Yeah. Well, he was... Let me see. He was a volunteer also. At that time, he was stationed in Lam Sien, and then he got promoted, quotation mark. He became team leader for